To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The text that we'll consider today as a portion of our gospel reading for this morning comes from the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Thus far the Holy Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, the vine of our salvation and the source of every blessing, dear fellow redeemed. There is such a thing, of course, as a pleasant surprise. A surprise birthday party, for instance, or a surprise phone call from a close friend, a surprise refund check from the IRS. Many people like surprises in their lives and eagerly look forward to them. Pastors are different. Pastors, as a rule, do not like surprises. Most pastors would be happy if there were no surprises at all in their lives or in their ministries, because the kind of surprises a pastor usually gets is not the pleasant kind. Most often, it's the 3 a.m. phone call summoning him to the hospital, the whispered report that one of his church members has fallen into a serious sin, a sudden and unexpected outpouring of criticism from a member who previously had given no indication of being unhappy. Now, as far as most pastors are concerned, the fewer surprises, the better. Maybe you feel the same way. If so, then our text for today has wonderful news for you. It's a passage that describes the conditions in the vineyard of the Lord, the working environment of every believing Christian. You'll be happy to learn that when you go to work in the vineyard of the Lord, he tells you exactly what to expect beforehand. Our theme today, there are no surprises in God's vineyard. You can expect the pruning process. Obviously, you can expect no fruit without Christ, but you can expect much fruit with Christ. Recently completed Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference in Clarkston, 4 years ago in the fall of 2008, we visited Vernon, British Columbia. And while we were there, we were treated to a tour of the nearby Mission Hills winery. It was a fascinating tour. Very interested in all the modern equipment and techniques in growing grapes and making wine. But what was even more interesting for me is how much has not changed in the wine making process over the many years and centuries that people have been doing that. In modern terminology, a grape farmer is known as a viticulturist. But in bygone days, he was simply called a vine dresser. One of the chief jobs of a vine dresser is to prune the grapevine periodically, and he does this for two reasons. Sometimes a branch isn't bearing any fruit at all, and those he removes completely. Sometimes a branch is bearing fruit, but extraneous growth is robbing it of its nutrients, so that extra growth, the worthless growth, has to be trimmed away. Vine dressers were doing this thousands of years ago, and they're still doing it today. No surprises there. How reassuring it is for us to learn that there are no surprises in God's vineyard either. Jesus makes clear, first of all, that one thing you can expect is the pruning process. That's no surprise. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. It's interesting that the Greek words in that passage for takes away and prune, even though they sound different in English, actually come from the same word. But their meaning is quite different indeed. In English, we might say it's the difference between cut off and cut back. Those branches that are completely unfruitful, those are the unbelievers. They're the people who, though they may call themselves Christians, demonstrate by a lack of fruit in their lives that they have no connection at all to Christ, the vine. These the vine dressers cut off. They are destined for the oven. But what of those who are not nominal Christians, but real Christians? What of those who really are attached to Christ, the vine? These the vine dresser cuts back. He trims and prunes them in order to make them more fruitful. And as vine dressers go, none is more accurate or careful than our Heavenly Father. Some time ago, I was surprised when my wife asked me for pruning shears for her birthday. Pruning shears sounded like an underwhelming gift idea to me. I'd seen pruning shears hanging in the checkout line at Home Depot for a couple of dollars, made in Taiwan. Those weren't the ones she wanted, however. She wanted Felco pruners made in Switzerland, and I quickly discovered that those can cost up to $50 or more. And yet, they're among the most popular garden tools there are. Why is that? Well, for two reasons. They're very sharp, and they're very accurate. They make the cleanest possible cut in just the right place on the tree or the vine or the plant. That minimizes damage to the plant, which means it can heal more quickly and produce more fruit. God, in his love, cuts us back, so to speak. He prunes us and cleans away the extraneous material in our lives and trains us to be more fruitful branches. Sometimes this pruning and training is quite painful. And yet, our Heavenly Father knows what he's doing. His pruning shears are sharp and very accurate. He makes the cleanest possible cut in just the right place to make you a more fruitful Christian in your life. The writer to the Hebrews observes, "Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Jesus has some wonderful words for his disciples right in the middle of this message, by the way. It was in verse 3. I wonder if you caught it. "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." You are already clean, he told his disciples. Last Sunday, I reminded you of the fact that sheep cannot clean themselves. Well, neither can branches. They need the vine dresser to do that. Jesus' disciples had heard and believed the word of salvation that they heard from their master. The disciple Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You too, as a Christian, have received the nutritious and life-giving word from Christ, your true vine. And before you can share that good news with other people, obviously you have to apply it to yourself and in your own life. We Christians have a lot to confess, so bring your sins and your failures to the cross of your Savior Jesus. Confess them, forsake them, and seek his pardon. For as often as you ask, he will pardon. As often as you seek him, he will bind up your hurts and pour balm into your wounds. The 103rd Psalm is perhaps the most beautiful expression in all of Scripture of the infinite mercy of God towards sinners. The psalmist says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." There are no surprises in God's vineyard. And the second thing that shouldn't surprise us in the least is that you can expect no fruit without Christ. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing." I said it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that you can't accomplish anything in the kingdom of God without Christ. But you know, it's surprising how many church leaders in our day and age seem to lose sight of that fact. It's amazing how many church leaders, even among confessional Lutherans, I'm ashamed to say, are drawn away from the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament that God says alone produces fruit in his kingdom. They're drawn toward social engineering and the methods of the so-called church growth movement. They take their inspiration not from the word of God, but from the fads of popular culture. They cater not to the real needs of souls that are lost in sin, but to the so-called felt needs of people who don't want to be confronted with their sin, so they don't mention it. Jesus snaps us right back to reality. He says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that last word in Greek is very emphatic. It means nothing at all, not the least little bit. That's what you can expect to accomplish without Christ. Without that life-giving connection to Christ, the true vine, and to his effective word, you can do absolutely nothing. Ask yourself, can a branch that is severed from the vine and is lying on the ground brown and withered, can that branch possibly bear a ripe, juicy cluster of grapes? Not very likely. But you know what's even less likely? The idea that you could ever accomplish anything for the kingdom of God without Christ and his word. Again, who are the Easter believers? Who are the true followers of the risen Christ? Jesus himself answers. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." There are no surprises in God's vineyard. While it's undeniably true that you can accomplish nothing without Christ, we can rejoice that the converse is also true. You can expect much fruit with Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You know, sometimes it's the oldest vines that bear the most grapes. In Hampton Court, a suburb of London, there is what is perhaps the oldest and perhaps the most fruitful grapevine in the world. It was planted in 1769, 7 years before our own Declaration of Independence. The Great Vine, as it is referred to, is now 12 feet around at its base, and its longest branch is over 120 feet. As old as it is, it continues to bear abundant fruit, in one recent year yielding half a ton of delicious grapes. Ask the secret of its great fruitfulness, the head gardener at Hampton Court Palace attributed it to careful pruning over the years, as well as a healthy flow of nutrients from the vine to the branches. Precisely the same thing is true about Christians, of course, and that's exactly why Jesus uses this crystal clear metaphor. On our own, we are nothing. Should we ever become detached from our true vine, Jesus Christ, we cannot even live, much less bear any fruit. But what happens when you maintain that attachment to your Savior, constantly cultivating and strengthening that attachment by reading and studying his word and by remaining constant in prayer for yourself, your family, and others? What happens when you present this life-giving word faithfully week by week in family devotions? What happens when you share your faith in simple words with the people that you know or meet? Then, my Christian friends, you'd better stand back, because there will be abundant fruit. Because the power to produce that fruit comes not from you, but from the mighty word of God. As the Lord says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." This is what we are to expect, for this is what God has promised us. There are no surprises in God's vineyard. We are imperfect vessels, to say the least, cracked and dirty clay pots. But what a joy for cracked clay pots like you and me to be able to possess within us that precious golden treasure of the gospel of salvation. What a privilege for us to actually be branches connected to Christ, the true vine. Yes, flawed and imperfect branches that we are, and in constant need of pruning and correction, yet we're connected to the true vine. the fount of everlasting life. What a privilege. What happens when you strengthen your connection to the vine? No surprise at all, you bear more fruit. It was many centuries ago that the Apostle Paul told the young pastor Timothy, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you." Cultivate that all-important connection to the vine, and you will both save yourself and those who hear you. It was evangelist Hudson Taylor who once said, "The branch of the vine does not worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine. And at just the right time and in the right way, there is the right fruit found on it. Let us so abide in the Lord Jesus." Yes, as Easter believers, let us abide in Christ, the true vine, and take advantage of the life-giving nutrients he offers us daily in his word. Here in God's vineyard, there are no surprises. We expect the pruning process. We certainly expect no fruits without Christ. But with Christ, as branches attached to his life-giving vine, we expect and receive great fruit. God grant it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise.